You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
It is the Massive Report back at Hendox. The Rolling Stones on the jukebox. I like it. That'll work. We're brought to you by 180 Property Development, and we thank them for their sponsorship of the Massive Report podcast. 180 Property Development, your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your home from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. Well, we're not going to have a tie here unless, I guess, we all agree on everything. There's three of us tonight. It's Sam Fahmy. Sam, it's great to see you up and around again.
Thank you, sir.
How's the wheel?
It's still a little gimpy, but it's definitely better than it was before.
Well, you were on your game on Saturday.
Well, thank you.
Great photo work at MassiveReport.com. Bart Logan is here. Bart, were you on your beer game?
Yeah, one or two, maybe.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Fair enough. I'm Brian Phillips from CD1025. I was at the match with my wife. We'll get to what my wife said to me seconds after Josie Altidore scored the tying goal that left us all with kind of an empty feeling as we left the stadium. 2-2 draw with Toronto, and so the Trillium Cup will be settled later as we still have the matchup in Canada with Toronto. Should we start with booing Bradley and get that out of the way? We had a little debate on our what is it, this thing that we use, Slack?
Slack.
Yeah, it's pretty handy. And, you know, we share show notes and so forth. And there was a debate today as to whether it was appropriate to boo Bradley or not. I didn't weigh in because I've already been very public about this, that I think booing Bradley is perfectly appropriate. I thought the fans were on their game. And the thing I told my wife was I realized how little Bradley had of the ball, because for the most part our boos were
very short.
Yeah. There was only one long one. So it made me think of his game differently. I don't know. I guess it's good for Toronto. He didn't have the ball on his feet too much. He was doing his job. He was distributing. I don't think it's anything to get too concerned about. I think he'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he brought it on himself.
Exactly. And that's one of those where I know our Massive Report colleagues, Mike Krosky and Patrick Murphy, I wish they were here so they could, you know, kind of offer their rebuttals. But it's a pretty not the hill that you want to die on, that the crew, you know, shouldn't be booing, or crew fans, Nordeca fans shouldn't be booing Michael Bradley. I know that it's, you know, it's important. We need to look back and you know, think about what Michael Bradley said, and think about, you know,
do you have the quote?
Are we, I do have it here in
All
front
right.
of me. And this
of
is
of course you do.
Exactly. And
I've
so he said
my wall. I look at it every day.
Look, on one hand, you feel for a small group of loyal supporters that they who have been there since the beginning, who continue to support the team and come out week after week. On the other hand,
so passive aggressive.
Oh yeah, exactly. You can't deny the fact that things have really fallen behind in terms of the atmosphere in the stadium, the quality of the stadium, what it's like to play here. I don't know who's at fault for that. There's a lot going on, and I get that. And like I said, as an outsider, I don't really know what that falls on. But again, the reality is just the league has continued to grow and grow, and this is not the only one, but this is one of a few markets that has not kept pace.
See, that's the thing. At the end of the day, when you read that back to me, what sticks in my craw is the passive-aggressive nature of it. And I'm sorry. The only thing you need to worry about Michael Bradley playing on the road, what shape is the pitch in? And I think this is the most beautiful pitch you play on every year is right here at our own Mafre Stadium. It's like a freaking pool table. So don't worry about the rest of it. You know, you've been here with the national team. You know what the atmosphere is like. Why do you care? You know, just shut your hole.
I want to say before Bart, you know, walks away, before we walk away from that quote, our good friend Michael Arias of the Columbus Dispatch had a column today exactly about that. And here's the quote that I really like. In retrospect, what Bradley said about the crew's quote-unquote small group of loyal supporters and the, quote, quality of the stadium and how the Columbus market has, quote, not kept pace – His words were not exactly incendiary. They did, however, suffer from context and came off as tone deaf.
And I think what those came off to me as is, if you close your eyes, if you didn't know that was Michael Bradley, now if I you know, said, hey, here, just read you the quote, and then said, who was this? Don Garber, Anthony Precourt, Dave Greeley, Dan Cordemunch or whatever, the MLS communications guy, or Michael Bradley.
All of the
above. You wouldn't, exactly, because they're the same things, because it was the marching orders. It was the
Alexei
talking points.
Lawless.
You say, exactly, Alexei Lawless, yes, fallen behind, and we feel bad for the, I mean, you could just substitute in, you know, inch wide, mile deep. For all, right, all that stuff. And it's, he chose. And the other important context for that is that that was after the playoff game against Toronto, I believe, the first leg in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's when he, along with Josie, had been booed for every touch they had because of the U.S. men's national team not making it. And so when you say, like, oh, well, Michael Bradley, it was the second time he had been asked that question, and you just have to, no, you could have very easily just said, hey, you already asked me that, and no, I'm not answering that question. But he was mad because he was booed again for something that they deserve booing. They didn't qualify for the World Cup. And if we are worried about, like, Michael Bradley, a professional athlete's feelings, or booing him as an opposing player every time he's now on the pitch here, like, what are we supposed to do? It's fans.
My one observation from Saturday is thus. The booing was not only coming from the Nordic.
Mm-hmm.
There were 17,000 fans. There were 17,000 fans in that stadium, 17 and change. I'll say the change were the Toronto fans sitting in the away section. But there were 17,000 fans that were collectively booing him. Now, regardless, to be at this point, it's just like, okay, this has run its course. Like, I don't think so.
Yeah, he only plays a max two games a year at the Mountbury Stadium.
This year is even less.
Go see the Jackets and the LA Kings once a year at Nationwide Arena. Who still gets it? Jeff Carter still gets it, and deservingly so.
Yep.
You know, that's part of the fun of sports, is you got to have villains. And Michael Bradley has served himself up to us, and I have no qualms about giving it to him. And we'll continue to give it to him until he finally retires. And
by all means, I'm not saying I'm defending him. I'm just saying that it's just like, okay. That's just me.
He's a well-paid professional athlete.
I mean, exactly.
What else do we have at this point? We have like a 1% chance of making the playoffs. We've got to have something. All right, enough on that. What's disappointing here is that I felt like, and Sam and I were talking before we started, and I was being more positive about the first half than he was. But it was only in the context of comparing it to Cincinnati where I felt like, for whatever reason, we just came out looking like we did early in the season or earlier in the season when we were racking up all those losses. And it was really a puzzling beginning against a bad team. I felt like with Toronto, at least, the work rate was there. The effort was there. They did a good job of kind of bottling us up and keeping us in our own end. And it required a lot of patience, and we gave up that first goal, which was, again, when we give up goals, it seems like it's because we're not doing that thing that you tell kids to do, step to the shooter, right? So we didn't do that. But all in all, I felt like we took the game back under control in the second half, and we got the lead. It was a much better overall effort. Am I missing something in the first half? Was I seeing a trend here? Where we're just not coming out ready to play.
This is completely unrelated. I am looking across the street, and there is a dude in a Colorado Rapids T-shirt. Right there.
Why?
Maybe he wants to be on the show. That is random.
In Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you can't find one of those in Colorado.
Well, let's have him on and have him explain himself.
Yeah.
At any rate, am I missing something here? Are we just not coming out ready to play in the first half, Bart?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. You know, again, there are a couple other. I think it was You know, Eunice, who had a tapping opportunity, then also had that nice ball that he played over to Pedro.
Yeah.
That, but you know, Pedro, who would go on to redeem himself on another volley, and who, frankly, I think if we're gonna, you know, try to point blame or you know best blame on someone, that's not somebody for this game or this season right now that we're willing to throw it at. But it does seem like I don't know. It's just like they can't finish off halves. And that's where, I mean, you look at the, I haven't looked up the stat, but just going off the past couple games where it seems like you're conceding at the end of the first half and conceding at the end of the half, second half, stoppage time, or not quite stoppage time. And I don't know if that's, you know, a mentality thing that they're checking out a little bit early, but, and especially with the second one, you just, and maybe it's we're also just so traumatized from what we've gone through, you know, during that 15 game stretch or so,
yeah,
how they managed to lose like every game, but you just felt that second one coming too, just the way that the Toronto was carrying the play and moving that ball around, even for as much as Crew dominated those stretches, about 30 minutes of that second half. It just always felt like, especially when Toronto swung it back their way, they were going to draw at least.
I got to be honest with you. You know, this was a game that Toronto really needed the 3 points. They have a much more realistic opportunity to make the playoffs as well. And this was devastating for them to walk off this field with only the 1 point. And I felt like they didn't seem particularly interested in winning the game. They did enough to draw, I suppose, but other than the 2 goals, they weren't particularly interesting. They weren't particularly positive in their play. I just thought it was an odd way to approach this match for a team that had to have those points.
I mean, they in the first half, they were pressuring the whole time. I mean,
I know, but there was no. It was like that. They wanted to keep us bottled up, but I didn't see a lot of flair. I didn't see a lot of. It seems like they were more interested in just sort of controlling the midfield.
And maybe that's why they're below the playoff line.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was no they seemed bored by the whole thing, to be quite honest with you.
I mean, like you said earlier, Bradley didn't really see the ball a ton.
Altidore didn't see the ball at all. He had touches.
Until
he had
touches. That goal.
Yeah.
Right.
He had touches, but he didn't have very many touches when it, you know, for Bradley. And then Altidore got pushed out to the wings, and he got pushed back that he did not have his preferred spots, which is in the middle of that box. And that really kind of really limited his effectiveness.
How are he and Mullins working together, do you think? Because Mullins is brand new there.
Did Mullins even touch the ball in this game?
Mullins had
I don't think he had
one look at the goal, didn't he? I'd have to look it up. But yeah. I mean, I didn't know he was there until, you know, I was like, oh.
I knew he was starting because
yeah.
we saw the lineup,
but that's about it.
I
just I stopped thinking about him because it was a match where the both of them didn't really seem, and that's what I'm getting at, is that for all the possession and all the pressure that they put on us in the first half, I felt like they really didn't seem to have a plan for cashing in much of that. Now, they did get the dumb first goal because of defensive breakdown. And they did get the one at the end
because of a defensive breakdown.
Yeah, because of a defensive breakdown.
And that's really the story. Like,
that's the story of the game.
Yeah,
for
if you put a label,
the story of the season for
exactly,
Columbus.
Exactly. If you put a label on this season for Columbus, is every time you've made a mistake, it hurt you.
You paid for it,
and this is why we are where we are right now. And you know, you can blame it on a lot of things, but it's the same. It's the same mistakes, and that's something that they have to figure out. And that's, oddly enough, you know, you're talking about not closing the halves. We had this conversation with Caleb at the beginning of the season, in preseason, and his philosophy is, you know, I want to, in practice, we want to put them in these situations where they are under pressure, they're under a high press and all that, and get them used to not getting flustered when being in that position. Now, the group that he started the beginning of the season with on defense is definitely not what he's got now. But that still doesn't excuse that. If you're really kind of training your first and second teamers, you know, in a supposed next man up type of mentality, because you kind of have to. You're not.
There's a lot of next men that have come.
There's
through.
A lot. Yeah.
There's Connor Maloney now. Who, you know what? They had a good game plan for Connor because he always had an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Right by him. They were not asking him to do anything he was not capable of doing. That guy worked his ass off.
He did.
He worked his ass off.
And he was significantly better than he was in the Cincinnati game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that they came up with a plan where, look, we know he's going to work. We know that his mind is right, and he's going to do what we need him to do. But we can't ask him to do things he's not capable of doing. And so he always had that outlet right by him, and it made things simple for him, mm-hmm. and he could just grind. And that's what we needed him to do. Obviously, when he came out, it was because we have to have a win. I mean, it's disappointing
that we weren't.
That goal was so easy for Altidore. It was ridiculous. As soon as the ball went in the net, mm-hmm. I just turned to my wife and shook my hand. She goes, "I saw that. I just saw that whole thing coming.
Yeah.
We were near where it happened." And she's like, "I just saw the whole thing coming. Yeah. I could see it." But the players couldn't for whatever reason. And he was open for the only time the entire match. Mm-hmm. And it was a tap-in. It was like a dunk.
Yeah.
But you look at the other, like, there were opportunities for Crew to do that. Zardes twice.
Zardes over the top again.
Over the top, and then also the head. And the header, at least, you know, he made something more with that. But, I mean, still, it's just one of those. Just tap it in, finesse it off the side. Why are you doing anything but a pass? And
I don't know.
It's at some point. I know there. You know, there's been like that kind of push. Hey, you know, let's see Romario Williams start over Giassi. I don't think Romario is
a 90-minute guy, though, or a 70-minute guy.
At the same time, though, you know what you have in Jossie Zardes. You know you're going to have Jossie Zardes next year. He's on. You know, he signed that contract.
Yeah.
So why not give Giassi a break? Start.
We can see that on Wednesday.
He can come off exactly,
and maybe Wednesday.
We do see that, and it'll be interesting because it's just for whatever it is. I don't know if he's just overthinking it himself, but I mean that's a tap.
In the words of Ralph Schudel, he's got the yips.
You know, we've seen it in sports, in all sports. Mm-hmm.
I thought the one that was heartbreaking was Yunus Mukhtar's shot.
Oh,
that. I mean, the goalie had no chance, and it just hit him, and it spun so hard,
right.
But just spun over and then rolled across the top of the top of the goalpost.
And then Argudo had that one as
and,
well.
It's you just, know, and it was just wow. Okay, maybe.
Bit.
And mm-hmm. who had the shot? Oh, that was Williams, wasn't it? Romario Williams that had the shot that got saved point blank.
Oh yeah. Argudo's had nearly beaten him off that. I think another ball from Will Trapp. You had another great opportunity from Luis Argudo, who came on in relief. I think who did he come on for? Was that for Mukhtar earlier?
No, he came on for Maloney.
And
they sent Pedro to left back.
It's
not like they went three in the back anyway.
Oh, and he's done that in the past. What playoff game was that in 2017? It might have been the Toronto game, the second Toronto game when there was when Frederico Higuain had accumulation, and everyone in the it might have been that one. But regardless, we've seen Pedro playing in the left back. But let's talk a little bit about Will Trapp who put that ball on Luis Argudo or help, create that
goal.
Happen. And then
perfect.
The Pedro Santos goal.
Great finish.
We haven't seen that from Will Trapp, that sort of performance, I feel like, in weeks where he can play that long ball and just serve it right up to you. And, I mean, that's such a weapon that there aren't too many MLS teams with that and such a skill set that you want to see more from Will, and I don't know if he was just getting, you know, particularly good movement from, Pedro in that front attacking four in this game, or what it might have been, but it was really encouraging to see Will getting involved offensively.
And a great sub, having a calm come on, obviously. Anytime somebody comes off the bench and scores, you go, oh, brilliant, and it was a great finish. And that's at the end of the day, that's what makes this game so frustrating because we had it, like, right in our hands.
Tied now with Josh Williams and Columbus Crew legend Gaston Saro for third in scoring on the team with two goals.
Who is?
David Accom.
David Accom, yes. Yeah, because the other two goals that he scored were in the Open Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
I do want to say, you know, Luis Argudo, you can kind of see the evolution of Luis Argudo in the last few games, but what really caught my eye, and I think everybody else in the stadium noticed it too, is towards the end of the second half, he had the ball. He goes in between two midfielders. They kick him, bring him down.
Right.
He stumbles and gets back up and still continues to maintain the ball. I mean, I felt bad at the end of the game because as soon as that final whistle went out, he just sat on the ground and put his head between his knees, and he was just devastated. And it was just like, you know what, man? You earned that. You absolutely earned to be devastated by this result when you hustled so hard.
And I think he also showed something on that play that players all over the world could learn from. You don't have to go down easily. If advantage is given, it can be taken away, which it was. The referee pointed. Let the play finish out, and then when it was obvious that the foul had impeded the play, it came back and did a restart.
Yep.
And the fans love that. They love that effort of trying to – and we saw it with – what was it, Accom last week.
Yeah.
Getting his limbs pulled off, and he's still churning forward. I love to see that as a fan. And when you do witness something like that, you realize how rare – that is in this game. We need more of that.
It's like I almost would have liked if he'd been the one that had subbed on for Maloney to get some time at left back, because I want him to be our next Hector Jimenez that you can just Swiss Army knife that you can plug in anywhere. And so he needs to get some time playing at the fullback position so he can be a viable option there when we need him.
Well, I think that probably the reason...
I only mean that.
I was a little surprised not to see him in the starting 11, but with the game on Wednesday in his hometown, I'm sure the plan is that he's going to start that game. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. It's a great idea. You know you're going to get a great game out of him. Mm-hmm. That I do know.
Also, he needs to take the shot after the second touch, not after the fourth shot touch.
Yeah.
Because he had that ball in the box. All he needed was sweep right, take the shot. That's it. All you need to do. And he instead went right, left, right, left, right, left, and kind of the gap closed in on him, and he couldn't really get a good shot off.
Well, players need to learn that, you know, when you step up to this level. And Diaz has to, as electric as he can be, we saw, I can think of one particular sequence where we had a great build-up. He had the ball in his feet and that heavy touch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that we're going to need to see cleaned up from him. But he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
I really am optimistic for next season. It's not gonna work out for us this year. I mean, let's be honest. We're not going to the playoffs.
I think that we might not be mathematically eliminated yet if they win and somehow everyone loses and or ties every other game.
But this streak with the points, putting those points in the bag, we've seen a much better team.
Yeah.
We really have. And they've been entertaining to watch. And that's part of it too, you know. We want people to come out to the stadium and see a team has some flair and is entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, especially the Cincinnati game, which was so crazy, and this one, especially in the second half, was also wildly entertaining. And I felt like everybody had a good time. And I'm looking forward to this last stretch of matches, regardless of what happens, because I do think that this team is banking money for the future, so to speak. They're putting things in the bank that they can draw upon next winter and into March when we start the season. I think we're going to see a much better team next year. I really do. And that's exciting, you know. This season has been weird. It's been disappointing. But I think at least we're finishing strong. And hopefully the Caleb Porter chatter is to a minimum, because I do think that we need to continue to let him see this through. It would be dumb to make a change here. So let's see this through.
Yep.
See where it goes. And the front office has done a great job of addressing needs on this team. The injuries I mean, when you step back and look at that, I mean, how
there's not a team that you take two of their DPs out for the entire season that, you know, maybe some of them might be able to squeak into the playoffs, but hey, the Crew has a chance of squeaking into the playoffs. Like, it's not going to happen, but you have to we can't look at things in just a vacuum. There's context, all of it. It's the same thing with folks that want to, you know, point out and say, hey, but now that the Crew is saved and yet they aren't necessarily, you know, killing it with attendance or anything and everything, even though you look at these past couple weekends look great because, wow, when the Crew plays in August and, you know, when you look at seasonality, that's when they've done better throughout their history.
Sure.
But,
well, people want to come outside in the summer. Who would have thought it?
Exactly. So, and
when it's 35 degrees on March 10th, it's a little rough.
And when you've got no one there advocating for you at the league when they're putting together the schedule and you get all of your games before, you know, July or, you know, two-thirds of your games before July.
And you know what's also coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you notice at all that our last two games are two home games are a month apart?
Yep.
So, what's coming up is you're going to be in a new stadium where you don't have a state fair to bug you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have a quarter horse Congress to bug you. So, I think that the scheduling now, the tricky part might be, you know, how you coordinate between the Crew, the Clippers, and the Blue Jackets.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's going to be, you know, a one-day movement here or there.
Yeah.
Is very different than having to be out of your home for a month because your entire area is completely occupied with horses, or at least quarter horses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think we've drawn everything out of this draw that we can. 2-2. Crew in Toronto. You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time in NYCFC because, you know, they're Nazi fans, and the fact that they play in Yankee Stadium, which is almost like playing a different sport. I hate those games at Yankee Stadium.
It's not even a good baseball stadium.
It plays so much to wall scrapers in baseball. So it's not particularly a good setup for baseball. Mm-hmm. And it's terrible for soccer. And, of course, I'll be watching, but I don't enjoy watching games on TV at Yankee Stadium. I'm not going there to watch a game. If I go to New York, I'm going to Red Bull Arena.
Mm-hmm. If you go to New York, you're going to New Jersey.
Right. Exactly. Well said, Bart. But, you know, we'll give our picks anyway for that game. But we got to look ahead to what's really important. That's Hell is Real Part 2 on Sunday on national television. Are you kidding me? We're going to be on national TV? That's crazy. All right, we'll break it all down next on the Massive Report. We're back at the Massive Report. Bart, talk about your bag.
That's right. It's segment two, and for today, that means that segment two is brought to you by the Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls Supporters Group / Lifestyle Brand. Follow GCG Bag on social media at Twitter and Facebook at GCGBag96. For all the coolest references that are really, like, hip to it. That's what we are. That's what we do. Really good social commentary and stuff as well. And if you want to learn more, remember, GCGBag.com. The Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls, definitely not failing, and official sponsors of the Massive Report podcast. It is a thing.
Don't you need to congratulate someone on the birth of a child?
That's true. I do want to congratulate a couple GE bags, Chris and Laura Papa.
A couple of what?
G bags.
Okay.
GCG bags, to be short, but G bag to be short.
Okay.
On the birth of their son, Petey Papa is going to be his nickname. Cameron's his first name, but Petey, and congratulations to Chris and Laura.
For the team to reach 2,000 minutes this season, it's been that kind of season, but that's a tidbit I picked up at massivereport.com. Just to kind of put some perspective on, we were just talking about the season and how we wished it would have gone better. But if there's anything that we pulled out of this, is that Pedro Santos has had a great year and has been a revelation and certainly deserving of his DP tag. And it's been fun to watch him. And I know you're a big fan, Bart.
As I've always been, let the record show.
Yeah, we can go back, check the transcripts.
Yeah, you can check the transcripts and then burn them. Burn them all.
You know, I just I hate talking about New York City FC games.
Do you ever wonder if Greg Berhalter, when he watches Crew games, he's like, "Huh, I wonder why he's doing that now, and he didn't do it when he was with me."
You know, sports sometimes is a mystery. Players change teams, coaches change, people react differently. I mean, we're talking about human beings here. Who knows? We're all just sort of mysterious, aren't we?
But, man, if you had, like, 7-goal Pedro last year, like the danger that he was at the wing, and I still think one of those things that we need to take into account is the fact that he's been playing the 10, like, all season, not been playing on the wing.
Right.
When we talk about, okay, you know, what's going to happen next year when, you know, or if they buy another 10, or if you, the idea is to move Pedro back on the wing, look where you're getting the, you're getting 10, maybe not
it's
the
not
high-end 10, but you're getting 10 DP level production from him right now at a fairly low salary for a DP. I don't think you mess with that, man. I think you just don't try to find someone else who's going to get you 7 goals from the 10. Just keep him there.
Sure.
And replace on the wings. And I think that's what they're preparing for, as much as, you know, others might not want to admit it. I think he's the heir to Federico Higuain.
Fair enough. Well, we'll see. That'll be certainly one of the storylines as we go into the 2020 season, which sounds like some far-off future year where we all have jetpacks or something. But I don't think that's going to happen.
And all tunnels right. from Betty's to...
Yeah,
no, sorry, 2021.
2021, we will have the tunnel, as I've asked for, from Betty's underneath the grounds up into the new stadium. I've asked for that. I think it's probably going to happen. Well, I'll tell you what's not going to happen. NYCFC will not have a proper soccer stadium anytime soon. Is there any hope at all in the future that Don Garber's going to put his foot down and say, look, you're going like we'll raise Trump Tower to the ground or something and put a soccer stadium there? Is there any
hope? That would be political speech and taking a political stance, Brian. MLS doesn't
no,
do that.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, if enough guys in the Russian mafia move out, you know, the place is no longer going to be viable, and we could have a soccer stadium for NYCFC. I know the real estate is expensive in Gotham, but this cannot continue. I'm more interested in talking about this than the actual NYCFC game. This is NASL stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Crew playing at Ohio Stadium, which was temporary. It's too
it's worse
small.
Than all that.
It's worse. It's not the beautiful game. I don't know what it is, but when you go in there, you have to play it like almost indoor soccer. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing, especially for all the money that's behind this club.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking the Man City money. They have basically the same kit. Why can't they fix this? Why can't they find a place in the city for them to play? I know it's crowded and it's expensive, but, you know, you're the ones that put a team there. Figure it out. It's goofy. I don't even like watching the games at NYCFC. They are above the playoff line, of course. You know, we can't have them below the playoff line. So
No, we mustn't.
Let's just pick a score. Let's just bitch about NYCFC and then pick a score, because I'm just not that interested.
They suck. Their front office should be a lot more intentional about not letting Nazis in and trying to
find... Well, yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah, trying to find a real stadium than, you know, whatever else they're doing. NYCFC sucks. Playing at Yankee Stadium, as someone who's been there and was photographed by a French soccer magazine and made actually the centerfold...
Wow!
It, like kind of yeah.
What?
Two pictures? Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was. I felt like a fashion icon, and I actually got a copy of it and gave it
that.
To my grandma. Yeah, it was some French soccer magazine, and they were trying to document fan culture and supporter culture in America, and so they naturally went to the hub, the bastion of soccer supporter
Yankee
culture.
Stadium.
Yankee Stadium about the first, maybe it was the second year the NYCFC was the team in, and they took pictures, and for whatever reason they took a picture of me and had me across two.
Haven't the French had enough of Nazis? Why do they have to go to an NYCFC game?
I mean, this would have been before the Nazis.
Well,
I mean, theoretically.
Yeah,
I think.
Maybe. We will go into a very long and lose.
Well, I need to see that. That's great. All right, pick a score.
Anyway, I will go with. I'm going to pick the Columbus Crew in this one.
Wait, what?
Wild one. I'm going to go ahead and just say we're going to go 3-0.
3-0.
Screw NYC. Screw their baseball stadium pitch. Screw the Steinbrenners and screw them accommodating Nazis. We're winning 3-0.
Sam?
I don't even know how to follow that.
Just pick a score.
Yeah, I think this has all the markings of possibly a 2-2 draw.
Oh, no, not again. All right, I'm taking the Crew 4-3.
Ooh, wow.
It's going to be a hockey game. It's such a small pitch. All right, enough with that.
Goalie averages are going to get screwed.
It's Hell is Real Part 2 on Sunday down there at Nippert in Cincinnati. Is there anything we should know about the actual, like when you go to Nippert and play, what should you expect as a player that's different from playing at Moffray Stadium? Anything? I mean, it's an artificial surface. Is it smaller? Is it bigger?
I think it's regular size.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean,
so there's nothing.
Nothing crazy other than it's turf.
Okay. All right. So we're all in agreement that the 2-2 result with Cincinnati in part one was not acceptable and should not have happened.
No.
Clearly, if we could say anything, if there's one team we're superior to, it would be Cincinnati. That's not a good club. Obviously, in the first half, they came out against us and played as well as they could possibly play this particular assemblage of guys. Maddox is a nice player. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, not a whole lot there.
They got Etienne from Red Bulls, we had just played
before. Which is weird. Yeah. I don't know why they loaned him out. I think he's a pretty good player. But apparently they have enough good players. So he's getting a chance to play. They're on their third manager of their inaugural season, which is not
like
good.
It's like Ross Doss now or
something. I think, you know, when you have your first season, I think you have to ride it out with one guy. I mean, you're an expansion team. What's going on here? You know, that's the one thing you got to get right. You have all this time to find the proper manager before you even get the players, you know. So that's a problem. We know the atmosphere is going to be great. It's going to be a fun game. Mm-hmm. What do we need to do differently that we didn't do in the first match up here when we had the home pitch advantage?
Put the ball in the back of the freaking net when you're, what was it, 30 inches away?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What we need to do, to quote Ivan Drago in Rocky IV, we must break them. We
okay.
must break them. We okay. just destroy it. Finish everything. I want them to, like, don't look at everyone. Look at David Akam's goal in that this past game last weekend, because that was one of had the makings of a classic Crew 2019 just shot that's completely wide or right into a defender. That could have been, if he'd taken just two more touches, it could have been, you know, the entire season in a nutshell. But instead of taking two more touches, he was greedy and said, this might not even be the best position I can take a shot from, but I see an opportunity, and I'm a striker, and I'm going to take a chance. And he scored a goal, and it was wild. And if they have that same, if everyone is that greedy and that has that level of just killer instinct, I'm going to do it. I'm not looking for someone else. I'm going to take this chance. Then we're going to win like 6-0, man.
That is actually in the realm of possibility here, of the possible outcomes.
Yeah.
I think back to the Red Bulls game of not that long ago, where we were so direct. And we had such a mindset that we are going to be direct. We are going to play long ball after long ball. We are going to keep the pressure on them. And really, the way this team is cast, they were playing a different role. You know, that game of all the matches this season will stand out to me as the one where who are these people?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see that again on Sunday down there in Cincinnati. That was a road game. This is a road game. The atmosphere is going to be electric. Play direct. Shove it down their throat. That's what I want to see. I don't even care if we give up two goals as long as we score more than they do.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see a high-scoring game. I want to see direct play. I want to sort of leave it in Eloy Room's lap to have our backs, and I want this to be the most positive attacking game that we play all season. Do these guys have it in them to do that?
I think they do. I don't think they ever want to go back down 2-0 to a team like Cincinnati, where they know they're better than Cincinnati. They know that they could have beaten Cincinnati by several goals had they, dialed it down a few notches and just changed the trajectory of some of the balls.
They either came out too tight or flat, and flat is inexcusable. Too tight is more understandable, but now that they have the first one under their belts, and really this and to a lesser extent the Trillium Cup are the last two things that you're playing for this season. This has to be the most important match of the season.
Yep.
It's even better that you can beat them on their field.
We must.
But I
think to address your comment about New York, New York pushed so many players forward, and it was like Greg Berhalter's for original, high risk, high reward type of thing, and it bit him in the butt. And the Crew was able to exploit that because, Zardes was beating defenders with speed. He's not the speediest guy.
But will Cincinnati dig in, bunker in, and defend on their home turf?
Absolutely.
When they can win, is real.
I could totally see that. And they play on counterattacks. Even in front of their home fans. And play on counterattacks? Why not?
All right.
If that's going to be your way of knowing, I'm gonna use the term escaped, but you escaped with a point when this team could have probably finished you off by two or three more goals.
I guess what I'm saying here is I'm way more interested in what we do than what they do
and
in this particular match.
You've got a manager who's also trying to ostensibly, keep his job. I'm pretty sure he probably
Maybe he's not.
I know they're going to replace him when they move into the new. Do they move into the new stadium next year?
Two years.
Exactly. 2021. So they've already said that, hey, we're going to replace. We'll invest when we move into a new stadium. But if I'm Ron John or whatever his name is, and I'm trying to keep my job, I'm definitely trying to win the only meaningful game that's left on the schedule. He's got to be, right?
You'd think so, but that just because he's got to win it does not mean that they don't have to. That they can't bunker down. That doesn't mean they can't bunker down and try to absorb all that energy that the Crew's going to be coming with, because they better know that this team is going to come in. They don't want to go down 2-0.
Well, so that's the thing, is we have to do what we haven't done all season. We have to get an early big lead. 2-2, right?
Yeah.
2-0.
At least.
Right? And then that erases all that, and then all bets are off. That's what we have to do. And that's what I'm talking about.
We should come out as Cincinnati did in Columbus.
Right. We have to forget the entire rest of the season. We have to forget how we've been playing as far as tactics and so forth. This game almost has to be a season unto itself. And I think we have to come out with with an abandon that sometimes we don't see. And these guys need to just not think and play and score goals. That's what I want to see. Now, do we have it in us? I think we do. I think we have superior skill. We have a superior roster. We just have to impose our will on them. That's what I'm talking about.
I think what I would like to see, which once again draws back to the New York game, is that how many shots did we take in that New York game? It was like 19 or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was overwhelming.
Take the shots on goal.
Yes.
Eventually, either it's going to get through them or you're going to get a favorable rebound or something, but you're not going to get any of those.
Corner kicks.
Yeah, you're not going to get any of those if you don't take shots on goal.
Win fouls.
And
attack.
Their goalie had a couple of nice saves, but he also got beat on a bullet by Pedro that, curved away from him, but still. So You got to take those shots. You can't wait back and you can't sit back. And if they do come out attacking, you're going to have a Crew team that'll probably, like they did with Toronto this week, they sat back, and then eventually were able to push that tide the other direction and get something going.
Let's play the second half and the first half.
Yes.
How about that? All right, let's make our picks and get out of here. Bart?
I'm going to go with... Yeah, I said it earlier, and I'm sticking with it. 6-0, Columbus Crew. Yep.
All
yep,
right.
I mean,
win 6-0, I'm buying you dinner.
Just dinner?
Just dinner. I mean, it's been a shitty season.
Yeah, that's fair. Again, you know, my picks are very objective, based on like a lot of scientific research and
sure.
empirical data.
Yeah.
And I'm sticking with it.
All right. 6-0 for Bart. Sam?
I can't see it. There's no consistency. There's no consistency in this in which I can I can't see them losing though. I'm going to say 2-1 Crew.
2-1 Crew. All right. Here's how it's going to happen. We're going to concede a dumb goal in the first 3 minutes.
That tracks.
And we're
very 2019 of you.
And then we will score 4 unanswered goals and win it 4-1.
I like it.
Hell okay. is real, part deux. Down in Cincinnati will be a crushing disappointment for whatever their fans call themselves.
I have heard.
What do they call themselves?
I don't know. The Baileys?
I don't know, but you know, I think well, the Bailey is I think what their Nordeck is or whatever
yeah,
it is.
That's their supporters section.
And then they've got like Du Hast, the supporters group, and I don't know what else they've you know got going on, but
right.
they did try to have some you know that fun some good bands. Their social media bands is getting a little bit better with. The team shop one where they said,
yeah.
"Hey, well, if you give us your
well,
crew,
that one
crew
was
stuff,
legit.
We'll give you 30%."
Like,
but
that was actually from their account.
And I'm really impressed with the crew's follow up in the crew team shop official team shop offering to exchange Cincy jerseys for toilet paper. I believe.
Yes,
it's true.
A softer roll of toilet paper.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah,
I mean,
cardboard.
FC Cincinnati is not even wearing authentic shirts this season. So, how bad could it be?
Well, it'll
be
bad
for them.
They're
not playing on authentic turf either.
Yeah.
6-0, 2-1. I got 4-1, and we're done. So, Wednesday in New York, and then Sunday in Cincinnati. We'll be back here on the Massive Report the next day to break it all down. Not going to talk about the New York City game a whole lot. That's not even real soccer. We're going to talk about Sunday in Cincinnati. Hell is Real Part 2. We'll see you in a week. Right here on the Massive Report, which is brought to you by 180 Property Development. I need to bring up the copy here so I do this professionally. My God. And I don't even have it. Can you edit this part, Sam?
This is what happens when you predict crazy scores.
It might have something
yeah,
to do with
crazy scores.
With me taking
totally
advantage
underselling
of
the crew.
Taking advantage of the Jameson special. Yeah,
exactly.
Thanks to Wayne Property Development for their sponsorship of the Mass Report podcast. Wayne Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your home from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out WaynePropertyDevelopment.com for your next projects. We should mention that the next home match is Chicago on the 31st, and the Massive Report will have tickets for that match in 1 week, right? Doesn't that work out in the calendar?
Yeah,
next
it's
week
the,
we will?
Yeah, next
yeah.
week after Cincinnati.
Where is the summer gone? That's crazy. All right.
We only have like 6 weeks left in the season.
I know.
Only
all right.
two home games?
Yeah, that and the Union at the end of the year. All right, so we'll have your tickets for that next week right here on the Massive Report. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Bart. I'm Brian. We'll see you next week.